Okay, sorry I'm late. My previous year went a little overtime, and I don't know if it's day or night still. So I came in last night, but Hashem Yazor. Again, there's a number of Mar Makomas I wanted to put on the sheet. I didn't get a chance to add them, but I'll mention them outside. And we could not go a week without talking about Kabbalah Satora. So I wanted to discuss it. Again, a question that maybe you've heard before, but to give four answers really to the question. That's the structure of the shiur. And we'll do our best to try to experience Maim at Har Sinai. The problem is Tosfos is Kasha. Kasha of Tosfos. And we'll go from there. On the same daf in Shabbos, daf Pechesam and Aleph. The Gemara tells us, we know, Rashi quotes it in this week's Parsha, Ve'isyasu B'sachta Sahar, Amar Avavdimi, Barchama, Barchasa, Malamed, Shakafa, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Alem, Zahar Kedigas. Hashem held the mountain over our heads like a barrel. Ve'amar Lohem, Imatem Akalum HaTorah Mutav, if you accept the Torah, great, Ve'imlav, Sham Teik V'raschem. And if not, there will be your Kfura. Right? An offer that we can't refuse. You accept the Torah, great, if not, Sham Teik V'raschem. Parenthetically, we could give a whole separate section of a shiur on that word shum. Right? Why did it say the word shum? I'll just give you two little quickies. It's a good back pocket because it's my Maimon Har Sinai. You can say it any day of the year, any Shabbos of the year. You know, why does it say shum kei teraskem? Right? It should be kan po. I'm going to drop the mountain. Kan tei teraskem. So what's shum? What's shum? So two ideas. One, shum tei teraskem. If you have an attitude of, no, not now. Maybe in the future. Right now we feel it. No, later on. The imlav, if you don't want to accept it, shum, the attitude of shum, the attitude of then, the attitude, I'll do it then, I'll procrastinate, whatever, it'll then, take for askam, that's the burial of the idea. Because if you want to do something, you have to do it now. If you feel inspired, do it now. Not shum. Right, last week's parsha. What did it say? By Moshe Rabbeinu, by Amalek, Machar Anochi Nitzav. Tomorrow I'm going to be standing. The Amalek is the power of Machar. Tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Can't be tomorrow. It's got to be today. If we feel anything, it can't be Shom. It can't be Machar. Because then it's never going to happen. Khan take for us then. That's one idea about Shom. Shom instead of Khan. One more idea, maybe, and then we'll get back to the topic at hand. Shem Teik V'raschem. You might feel it now, but what about your kids? You think that you're inspired, so you'll accept it even without it being forced. What about the next generation? What about the future? Shem Teik V'raschem. Accept it now. So Shem, because if you don't, then Shem, the future generations, you have to make it part of you now. If we make something part of us, then it passes on to the next generation. If it's external to us, it's something that we do, not who we are, so then it's not going to be passed on. Make it part of you. As Moshe Feinstein writes in many of his writings, we have to wait to pass it on to the children is to express it in the way that it's amazing to be a Jew. And it's the greatest gift, not for its design yid, but if we feel that it's the gift. So Shem Teik V'raschem, got to be worried about the kids. Okay, there are other answers, but let's get back to the issue. So, Kofel Emar Kegigas. Amar Vacha Baracha, Bar Yaakov, Mikan Modor Rabba La Raisa. This is a great excuse for the Torah. Right, Rashi explains, you don't have it, that up until that point, you know, we had a great excuse. Because if any time we would violate the Torah, we would say we were forced. It's not our fault. So Modor Rabba La Raisa, it's a great excuse. But, Amar Rava Aval Pikein, Hader Kiplu Abimei HaShverosh. Even so, even though we were forced, we accepted it willingly in the times of Ahasuerus. Also a question, not for now, but it's a fascinating question. This is a famous line. Why do we say B'mei Ahasuerus? What do we give him the credit? Hadakiblua B'mei Mordechai Vester. Hadakiblua B'mei Stalin. You know, what are you giving some credit to Russia for? Interesting question. But also not for now. But let's focus on what we're doing. But there is a question on that line that we might ask, and that is, what was it at the time of Purim that caused another Kabbalah Satora? Right? Somehow, Hadar Kiblua, why? There were a lot of Nisim that happened before then. So why Dafka, at the time of Purim, why Hadar Kiblua? But either way, this is V'yisasu v'sachta Zahar, Hashem held the mountain over our heads like a barrel, and we accepted the Torah. Another question to ask is why a barrel? Hashem held the mountain over our heads like a mountain. Why do you have to have the imagery of a barrel? And every word in the Gemara teaches us something. Why does the Gemara have to compare the mountain to a barrel and just say, the mountain, he held the mountain over our heads like a mountain, a hollow mountain? So why does it say a barrel? Okay. But what's the question of Tosfos? The next line, the same daf, the same amun in Shas. Shabbos daf peches. Darash Rav Simoi, the Gemara darshins, the Pesukim in next week's parsha, Nasa v'Nishma. B'sha shikdim Yisrael Nasa l'Nishma, when B'nai Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma, Bo shishim ribo shamalachei ashari, 600,000 angels came, and they each tied a crown on, Nasa v'Nishma, and when we said to the eagle, we lost the crown. But ask Tosfos a simple question. Kavala America Yigas, Nasa v'Nishma. Were we forced? Were we willing? Nasa v'Nishma, the two greatest words that we said. Right, so what we force and what we're willing, that is the kasha. Remember something I wanted to say later? Let me just write it down. Okay. So what exactly is the pshat? And this is an important idea to figure out, because as we know, the Ramban tells us, right, there's a mitzvah say daraisa and a mitzvah lo say about Har Sinai, to remember the experience. So we have to know how to define the experience. Was it kfiya? Was it willing? Right, the Rabban counts a lo sase, we can't forget Maimon Har Sinai. The Rabban counts an ase of saying Berachas HaTorah every day. Right, the Rambam doesn't count it. The Rabban counts one of the could be the first mitzvah ase we do every single day. What do we do in the morning? We wake up, Odani, that's a minug, nice minug. Mitzvah Yudayim, mitzvah Rabbanan, Berachas HaTorah. So the first mitzvah Daraisa. Oh, maybe put on our tzitzis first. Okay, maybe that could be first mitzvah Chiyuvis that we do. Right, but either way, it's one of the early ones. So what exactly, how do we define this event? Okay, four ideas. That's Tosfos is Kasha, Shabbos Peches. V'yafo pishek farak dimo, nasa l'nishma. They already said nasa l'nishma, so what do we have to need? What do we need? Kaf olam harkegikas. Idea number one. This is already in the Medrash, but the Chizkuni quotes it, one of the early Rishonim. It says the Chizkuni, v'yisyatsu b'sach t'sahar, Pirish Rashi Kovel Emar Kegigas V'yam Tom Arik Fai Amru Nasa L'Nishma Eli Yishlomar Torah Shebal Peh Lo Kiblu Adayin Torah Shebichsav Torah Shebal Peh Nasa V'Nishma Torah Shebichsav. That we were ready for. That we were very into. Kodesh Baruch Hu says it's a package deal. You can't accept one without the other. Because you're not going to survive. You can't survive. You can't understand any part of Torah Shabbat Pechsav without Torah Shabbat Peh. And not just that you can't, it's not going to be part of your life. The Medrash that he's based on, this Medrash Tanchuma on the top of the next page, Medrash Tanchuma gives this answer. Anu kulam va'amru, na'as evanishma, mipnei she'ein ba yagia v'tzar, v'hi ma'at. If we only have Torah Shabbat Pechsav, that's not such a commitment. What do we have to do? Torah Shabbat Peh. Mishnah, Shas, Zohar, Medrash, everything. Ela Omer Lehem Ala Torah Shebal Peh, Sheishbog Digduke Mitzvos, Kalos HaChamuros, V'Yaza Kamavis, V'Kosha Kishol Kinasa. It's hard. It's hard to learn that Torah Shebal Peh. It's not easy. L'fi She'en Lo Medo Seh Ela Misha Oev HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Libo V'chol Nafsho U'V'chol Ma'odo. Can only succeed in Torah Shebal Peh if you have commitment, if you love Hashem. Maybe 7.5 years, not miss a day. And that's learning it on a superficial level. But to learn it and to live it, Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, it takes a stronger commitment. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's a package deal. Because Torah Shebal Chsav cannot exist without Torah Shebal Peh. They were both given on Har Sinai. And we needed it. The Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai in source number 7 explains beautifully based on this the imagery of the barrel. Why a barrel? The Zesha Amar on line 7, based on this idea of Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebal Peh, Kafa Hahar Kegigas Sheyesh La Beis Kibul. What's the ikar of a barrel? A barrel is a container, but a container is important for what's inside of it. Right, a barrel is a barrel. It's just external. It's just chitzoni. but it's the wine that's inside. And there's tons of wine. There are billions of droplets of wine inside the barrel. Hashem held the mountain over our heads. He forced us Torah Shebaal Peh like a barrel, because the outside of the barrel was Torah Shebichsav. But what's inside the letters? What's inside all of Torah Shebichsav, the wine inside? That's why it's like a barrel. That's what he says. And he quotes Tosfos, and he doesn't like Tosfos. We didn't get the Tosfos' answer yet. I'm sorry, I'm reading the Aruch Chaim. On the left side of the Ben Yoyada. Kihem kiblu Torah Shebichsav, kafima sheheidu hamikros, kamo akaroin, to ozli basar pshat hamikra. They were ready. A Karite commitment. That's what they were ready to give. V'lo ha'yu rotzen l'kabal Torah Shebaal Peh. Asher b'chol teva v'teva shal mikra, tola batilei tilim shal halachas. Mountains of halachas. What's he quoting here, without mentioning it? Menachas Chavtas. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, and Hashem talks to him, and Moshe sees Hashem sewing the crowns onto the letters, whatever that means. And Moshe says, what are you doing? And Hashem says, in the future generation, there's going to be an Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, that's going to darshan mountains of halachos from every crown on every letter. Moshe's like, really? Can I see him? So Hashem zaps him in, right back to the future, or future to the, whatever it's called, I don't know which direction is going. He goes into Rabbi Akiva's classroom. He's sitting in the back. He has no idea what's going on. And he has Chalisha Sadas. He's like, I don't understand anything. What's going on? And all of a sudden, the Talmud asks a question. Rabbi, I don't understand that. And Rabbi Akiva answers, Halacha Moshe Mesinai. All of a sudden, Moshe's like, okay, good. But that's mountains of halachas. How many halachas do we know in Shas that Rabbi Akiva darshan from the mountains of halachas? Zero. We don't know any. But we know there were mountains of halachas. The Kiva didn't write any Svarim. But he says, that's the Nas of Inishma. It was Chavla Merke Gigis ala Torah Shebaal Peh. It was what was inside. And that's the barrel. And that's what they accepted. The Torah Shebaal Peh, they had to. Because it's a package deal. You can't understand one word of Torah Shebaal without Torah Shebaal Peh. And not only can you not understand one word, if something's easy, it doesn't last. Only if something's hard. Right? Easy doesn't last. Right? We know that from the Gemara Nida. Gemara Nida Daf Lamed, which tells us if we learn all of Torah in utero, and then on the way out, we're caused to forget it. That's why we're caused to forget it, because that life's not about knowing it all. Life's about earning it and making it part of you. Because if we get it on a silver platter, you know, what kind of person could not work very hard and know everything? You have to work. You have to work at it. Right, and that's the Torah Shebaal Peh. It could be, it's not mefurish, but it's a hint to a little bit in the Pnei Yoshua on that Gemara. Turn the page to source number 9. Maybe this is the Hadar Kiblu of Bimei Achashverosh, according to this idea. They accepted the hidden Torah when they experienced the hidden miracle. Right. All other salvations up till that point, all the other Hatzalos were open miracles. Right? Throughout going into Eretz Yisrael, and even afterwards, Hanukkah. So what was unique about Purim? That was the only salvation we had, B'derech HaTeva, miracles hidden. When they experienced hidden miracles, they accepted the hidden Torah. They appreciate it a lot more than meets the eye. And therefore, again, the Pnei Yeshua, I can't blame this on the Pnei Yeshua, Chas v'Shalom blaming, but I'm not attributing this, but he says something similar. But that's another idea based on this first approach. So this is one idea. Again, the message for us, commitment to Torah and Torah life is all-encompassing. It's not meant to be easy, but we have to live our lives based on Torah. We like to quote in the past, it's alluded to in a Medrash, the Gemara in Shabbos, Laman Aleph, Kavati Itim LaTorah, one of the questions we're going to be asked, did you set aside time for Torah, but on a deeper level, not just set aside time for Torah. Kavati Itim LaTorah. Did you set the times to the Torah, or the Torah to the Itim? Did we fit the Torah into our life, or did we fit our lives into the Torah? It's hard sometimes if I like to do something and it doesn't really fit into the Torah. I'll take whatever part of Torah fits into my life. But other parts of Torah are a little more uncomfortable. Rahman al-Islam, that's something that's been going on for thousands of years. Some who pick and choose. You know, why does this mitzvah have mazel and this mitzvah and Aveira doesn't have mazel? Sometimes it's because some are easier than others. And some that are more challenging. But our job is kavata itim la Torah. We have to set the itim to the Torah because that's what a commitment means. The Torah Shebal Peh. That's something that's all-encompassing. And as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, we have to be committed to learning Torah, to living Torah. And that's all number one. Okay. Number two. And again, each of these can be fleshed out more, but I'm going to leave it for now. Number two is Tosfos himself. Tosfos back in source number two. What did Tosfos answer to the question? V'avo b'shek v'arek dimu nasa l'nishma, says Tosfos in source two, Shema yu chozrim kishayiru ha'esh ha'gadola shiatzitza nishmasan. Even though they raise an asa v'nishma, well, maybe when they experienced Maim and Har Sinai with all the fire and the thunder and the trepidation, maybe they would be chozer bo. Maybe they would retract. Hashem didn't want them to retract. So he forced it on them. And what's the kash on the Tosfos? All the Mefarshim ask. I don't understand. So what kind of Kabbalah is that? If we would have retracted, that is forcing us help. So he forced us, so he prevented. He said, okay, you can't retract. Okay, but then what kind of Kabbalah is that? What is Tosfos talking about? What does Tosfos mean? So the Maharal writes in Tiferes Yisrael, in Source 11, there's something much deeper in Tosfos. It's not just, oh, if they retract. Right, we know the Gemara tells us in two places, also on that same daf, in Shabbos, Yom HaShishi. What is Yom HaShishi? Not Yom Shishi. Balkori, the only one that has HaShishi. Right, because the Vav Sivan, the whole world was like in limbo. Until Shavuos, and we accepted the Torah, and now it's solidified. But the world is not solidified before the Torah was given. What does that have to do with us? Says the Maharal. I'll say it outside first, and then we'll see his words. The world has to exist in an absolute way. It can't be tully on something. The world has to exist because it exists. The world only exists if the Jews accept the Torah. But it can't be subject to the whim of people, because then it would be an imperfection in the world. The Jews express their Ratzon, they want the Torah. Once they volunteered, Hashem cemented the relationship. Not literally that they would be chozer bo, but He created a context that there's no chozer bo because I want to force the issue. I want to force the relationship so that the world exists absolutely. And he even quotes the Medrash, gives a mashal. It's a wild, unbelievable mashal. The pasuk says in Kisis Kisetze, Velosia Leisha Leuchal Shalcha Kol Yoma. If a man is ma'anis a woman, rapes a woman, if she wants, now you might say, why would she ever want to marry her? So think of the context. First of all, if somebody, a woman's out of psula, there's less probably people that would want to marry her, but let's say they were going out and it was a relationship, but he went a little too far. So it's not crazy to think about in certain circumstances that if I want to be financially secure and you could provide it, then the Torah forces. Again, obviously only if she wants. But it says, you can never divorce her. It says the Medrash, Hashem was ma'anes us. And therefore he can never get rid of us. And he can never divorce us. That's the mashal. The Maharal says, what does that mean? He forced the relationship. Once we expressed our willingness. Now let's read the Maharal. Mahar. Shalo yomer li'Yisrael. So Jews can never say, anachnu kivanu ha-Torah, me'atzmeinu, we accepted the Torah. V'im lo ha'yinu rotzos. And in one day, if we don't want the Torah, lo ha'yinu makavu ha-Torah. And we wouldn't accept the Torah. The whole world is taliba. V'im lo ha'isa ha-Torah, ha'isa olam choz l'to v'avohu. It's not roy that it's tali on Bechiras Yisrael, rock, Shai Kadosh Baruch Hu mechayiv machriach us on the Kabbalah Torah. Right? He forced us after we accepted. Obviously, he knew what he wanted it. Sheyefshar zu lazeh shelo yachzer olam tov avo. Then he quotes Nasa l'nishma v'chulu, and he says that I think he quotes towards the in the continuation. He quotes this medrash maybe in the next the next page at the end of the piece. He says kima chikachar he saw lanusaso shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu is lanusaso ksev lo siel liisha lo yichal shachal kol yamav. A second idea. Because Hashem had to create the relationship. What's the message for us? The world can't exist without Torah. Without people learning Torah, connected to Torah. The Rechaim Yivalazhin writes, that's why there are time zones. That's why I should be feeling now. And I feel jet lagged. Right? There are time zones. Why are there time zones? Hashem could have created a globe where everyone's in the same time zone. Hashem could have done it somehow. The answer is no, because time zones are that it's always daytime somewhere. So even if people are sleeping in one place, you know, somebody's learning in another place. In Volozhin, they kept this their own world. In Volozhin, they had 24-hour learning. They had shifts. Rav Cook, they always say, used to take the middle of the night shift. But you know, they took that seriously. But we have to recognize that this is the whole world. The whole world is subject. They quote, there's a story about the father of the Avnei Nezer, Sachat Shavu Rebbe. Avnei Nezer and the Shem Yishmuel. Why was he zochet to such a son and a grandson? They said one time he had a vision. He had a vision that it was Purim. It was Purim, and everybody was Purim in Poland in the 1800s. And he went to one of the base matters during the Purim Suda. Like he finished the Suda, whatever it was. And he had a vision that where was all Jewry in the 1800s? Where was all Torah learning? Basically in Poland. In Poland. Where else were there centers of Jews? Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, there were some, but... And he said, at that moment, he was holding up the world. Everybody else was having Purim Suda. He was holding up the world. Avnei Nezer, Shem Yishmuel. Because Torah holds up the world. And there had to be an absolute existence, according to the Maharal, giving pshat to Tosfos. Number three. Number one, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat. Number two, absolute existence. Number three, this is probably the most popular suggestion by the Achronim. The Meshech Chachma says it in short. The Darki Musar of Naiman expands upon it. I guess we do the Meshech Chachma first. Source 13 says the Meshech Chachma, Malabish Kavalim Hakagigas, Pirish, Lahem, I can't read it, Bahakitz ubehiskalus nifla, Akimamish Batla, says the Meshech Chachma. They did it willingly. Nasav and Ishma. But it was so clear to them as if they were forced. They had such clarity of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, is and symbolizes and does for them, that they accepted it, ki'ilu, they were forced. So it's one event. It's nasa v'nishma. Kalak ha'gigas, the Darki Musar quotes this also, v'gila madrega gavoa v'akar gdola, v'ora emes zorech aleihem. Right? It was as if they didn't have bechira chafshis. And he gives a mashal. Rav Yerucham gives this mashal too. Yerucham gives this mashal to explain how the Ramban says that there was no bechira chafshis before in the Gan Eden. It's how they sin. There's a mashal. Let's say you're walking down the street and there's a house on fire. Do you have a chira chashis to run into the house? To go into the house? Free choice. You go into a burning house. Nobody in their right mind would go into a house on fire. But it's so clear that you wouldn't, but you can. So that's what it was like. There was such clarity of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Maimon Har Sinai, that it was just clear. There was no other choice. There was no other choice. And that's the mashal I gave you, the Ramban, before the Chait. Ki adam ayaoseh b'tiva masharoi lios, kafi tolados. Kasher yasva shemayim b'chot zvam was like the sun and the moon. Ve'elam ma'isam abo sinna, they did it. And it was so clear. I once heard an amazing vart. I forgot who quoted it. I was going to put it on, but amazing vart. So we said nasa v'nishma. How did we say nasa v'nishma? We. Shouldn't it be, like, how did I know what the other guy was thinking? Esa v'eshma, I'll take it. I don't know about him. Maybe he doesn't want to do nasa v'nishma. I should worry about myself. Esa v'eshma. So how do they say nasa v'nishma? It's a mashal. Five guys in jail. for a few days, they don't give them any water. Give them any water. Their mouths are parched. All of a sudden, after a few days, the guard comes in and says, "Anybody want water?" "Oh, I do. I'm not sure about the other guy." "Oh, yes, we want water. We want water. We need it." It's obvious. It was obvious to everybody that everybody wasn't just even on a personal level. It was Nasa v'Nishma. We need this as an Am. We need this as a people. We need to condition ourselves, the message of this idea. We need to condition ourselves that things should be clear, right? The highest level is to reach the level that we don't have Bechira. The famous comment of, it's famous if you know it, right? The famous comment of Rav Dessler, the Kutras HaBechira. Rav Dessler says that everybody, right, he gives the mashal of an army. Let's say this table is one army battling the other army. So they come at a head at one point, but then one army. So where's the battle? Only at that point . Let's say one army pushes this way. So then the stuff behind them is no longer under the battlefield. There's a new line. Similar mashal, the way I remember, I heard this mashal 30 years ago. American football. If you can think, there's only one line of scrimmage. Where's the ball? Right here. The yards behind us, is one team already has this, and the other team, that's beyond. Right here. There's only one point where the game is going on. In life, we all have Bechira points. We all have Bechira points, right? We're all different areas on the field. Like, at my Bechira point, Lashon Hara is right here. Davening with Kavana is right here. Tikkun Chatzos is not here. That's like towards the other goal line. Right? And hopefully, eating like pig is like not here either. That's behind me. I'm saying, do I have Bechira Chashas Nadi? I do, but it's Kilu, I don't. I mean, Rahman al-Itzlan, sometimes things can move backwards very quickly. But hopefully things can move forwards very quickly. But at that moment, so our job in life is to move down the field, to get more things that we really don't have Bechira for, that we're not fighting for. But that's this idea. It was as clear to them that this is what they needed to do, and it was clear about that in jail, Marshall, right? They all knew Nasa v'Nishma. And one final point. One final one was not on your sheet. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in a different context, Yaakov Kamenetsky notes, talks about the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. I think it's the third Mishnah, fourth Mishnah. Antigonish is socho. Al ti yikavad ma'amsham shenes harav amanas l'kavo pras. El ma'amsham shenes harav shalom amanas l'kavo pras. Vehei mora shamayim aleichem. That's the Mishnah. Serve Hashem not for a reward, but serve Hashem not to get a reward, and have yirat shamayim. So what's the connection between the two halves of the Mishnah? Says Rabbi Yaakov, life is a balance of avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. And one without the other can be very dangerous. If somebody has overwhelming avas Hashem without any year or without any borders, nada ben aviyu. Right? No borders. Bring in Eish Zara. Make your own rules for spirituality. It's a lot of ava. I love Hashem. He's great. But no rules. A lot of people could love God, but if they're not ready to commit to halacha, then it's all ava. There's no yira. The Beis Halevi writes in Parshas Kisisa, that was the problem of the Chet HaEgel. They wanted to be close to Hashem. They just started using their own means to get there. There was no Yira. So Ava without Yira is a problem. Obviously, Yira without Ava is also a problem. You know, if I'm just scared and nervous and paralyzed by everything I have to do, so then that's also going to be a problem. The Mishnah says, "Serve Hashem Shalom and Askavah Pras Ava Yimor Shemayim Aleichem." And then he says, "That's the pshat. Nase v'nishma. We had Avas Hashem. We wanted to do it, but Hashem knew that just Ava is not going to work. Is not going to survive. It has to be coupled with Yira. It has to have a little of both. And this, Rabbeinu Yonah says, is the only relationship that really you can have both. Usually, you have a relationship, let's say you love a teacher. You don't fear him. You either like running to him or running away from him. If you're scared of somebody, you don't love them. Usually one or the other. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's both at the same time. And that's unique. And we need both of them. We need the Ava and we need the Yira. I'm not going to read it. The Shemin HaTov even says, that's why it says the Akedah. Based on a Rashbam. Rashbam is an unbelievable idea, very radical. The Rashbam says the Akedah was a punishment for Avram Avinu, for making a treaty with Umos HaOlam about part of Eretz Yisrael. Right before that, Avimelech, Avram makes a treaty. And the Rashbam says, you're trying to make treaties so that, you know, you're worried about your future generations. You know what? Take your son and kill him. You know, don't make dealings with... this is not political. This is this is the Rashbam. I'm just saying what the Rashbam says. But he says, don't make dealings. But the Shemin HaTov expands on the Rashbam. What's the message? Avram had tremendous Ava. But he had to have the balance of Yira. He had to have the balance of Yira. He had to have the balance of, making sure. We finish in a few minutes, but just come on in.
No, okay.
It's fine. We have the Ava, unbridled Ava. Unbridled Ava without Yira as a limitation is something that's very dangerous. And we find it. We find it in our generation. You know, this one, people looking for spirituality, but in their own ways. People looking to grow without limitations. But again, it can't just be Yira. If there's no Avas Hashem in one spirituality, that's a very dry and probably won't last type of ruchnius. No, it has to be Ahava. That's what makes it deep. That's what makes it last. And that's what the Rabbi Yaakov says, after Nasa v'Nishma, that was Ahava, but Hashem had a kafalim harkagigas. Hashem had to put the mountain over our heads because he knew what's going to last. So if you think about all four interpretations, Kodesh Baruch Hu was doing it for our benefit. Number one, he knew Torah Shebichzav without Torah Shebapeh is not going to last. Doesn't mean that we're supposed to learn Torah Shebichzav and we're supposed to learn Torah Shebapeh. You know, Tanakh and Gemara have to go hand in hand. But Hashem knew that to keep the Jewish people going, we need Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebapeh, number one. Number two, Hashem knew that he has to make the world in absolute existence, and Torah, and B'nai Yisrael keeping the Torah, is permanent, and has to be there permanently. And somebody will always be learning Torah. Hashem has promised us that. Number three, it has to become so clear to us that this is the path, and this is the Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be so clear. Right, but now it's hazy. It's all from the power of Amalek. We'll talk about this next month, before Purim. Right, like Rashi quoted at the end of last week's Parsha. Right? Hashem's kisei, which means clarity of vision, is not going to be clear until Mashiach comes. But we have to do our best to spread it. We have to do our best to spread. But as much as we could get it clear, as far downfield that we could get our Bechira point, that's our goal. Everybody has Bechira points. Everybody has Bechira. I think the story goes, I'm not sure if it was the Dubna Magid who said it to the Groh or someone else. The Dubna Magid and the Groh both lived in Vilna at the same time. Or when the girl was on his deathbed, they said, "Rabbi, create your doctor." He said, "No, give me the Dubna Magid, I need Musar." Right? That was the only they were very relationship. So anyone said to the girl, "I wish I had your Yetzer Tov." He said, "If you have my Yetzer Tov, you also have my Yetzer Hara. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody." What does that mean? Because the playing field is leveled. Everybody has their Bechira point. So if somebody is higher, then they have. So it's our job to push it downfield, and push the markers. Number three. But also to have the balance. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. We need both in our lives. The proper balance, and often we have to ask our Rebbeim about details of the proper balance in certain specifics. But that's our job. Just to close with one final Meshech Chachma. It's really a separate thought, but it's a beautiful point on the Parsha. And again, something that you could always say because it's about Amud Har Sinai. Right, there are two psukim, one in this week's Parsha, one in next week's Parsha. This week's Parsha is not Na'aseh V'Nishma. to last source, 18. In this pasuk, this week's parasha, the pasuk says, "Vayanu kol al vayatov." The whole nation says together, "Yomer kol asher dibur Hashem nasa." Everything you say, we'll do. Just nasa. Next week's parasha, Chav Dal Zayin, 24/7. Right, that's where nasa v'nishma is. That's vision of the next week. There's one difference. Why is that nasa v'nishma and this one nasa? But also, why is this one yachdav? This one is together. In mishpatim, there's no yachdav. Says the Meshech Chachma, really, there's no one Jew that could fulfill all the Torah. There are mitzvahs upon a king. There are mitzvahs upon Beis Din. There's a mitzvah upon a man. There's a mitzvah upon a woman. Right? Not every... Right? There's two mitzvahs, I think, that a woman is chayiv and not men. Men are chayiv in a bunch of more mitzvahs. Not so many. We think like mitzvahs is magrom. There's like 30. No, there's like 7 or 8. Not so many. Not so many. But there are two, right? Beged ish. A man cannot violate beged ish, right? Or bring karbanos of yoledes. But yeah, there's a few. But anyway, no one person can do all the mitzvahs. So what does it mean? Nasa v'nishma. We'll do it. So there's two options. Number one, if we can't do a mitzvah, if we learn about the mitzvah, if we study the mitzvah. Somebody can't do the mitzvah pidyon haben. He had a girl first. Learn about pidyon haben. If somebody can't do a mitzvah, you'll learn about it. If somebody can't eat truma, learn the laws of truma. Learning about it is ki'ilu ki'ein. Number two option, if you do what you're supposed to do, and I do what I'm supposed to do, and they do what they're supposed to do, and everybody does what they're supposed to do, then together we are fulfilling tiring mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch. This week's parasha, what does the pasuk say? Yachdav. Together, nasa, then everybody does their own part, then that's the fulfillment. Next week's parasha, there's no yachdav, because we can each do it on ourselves. Nasa v'nishma, we can learn about it. So those are the two ways that we have, and we have to try to do both. We have to learn and keep the world going, as we mentioned, and we also have to do each on our own. Everybody does their own chiyuv. If we can do that, we have to remember, you know, every single day of our life, we have to remember our Sinai. These 2 weeks, we have to focus on it, learn the messages from it. But let's take all these messages. The commitment to Torah Shabbat Chsav and Torah Shabbat Peh. The commitment of recognizing that Torah keeps the world going. The commitment to trying to make it clear, the clarity of vision of Torah and Mitzvos. And finally, the balance of Ava and Yira. The Rizal Hashem give us the Siyata D'Shemaya to be able to fulfill all of those. It's a high, you know, Hashem expects great things from us. But we can do it as long as we do it Yachtav. Nice to finish my together.